Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, crap! I almost forgot! Hey! Oh, saving it for a good time!
What is it?
Big G! The best!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Hey, check this out. Lou Gehrig's pants. Not a bad fit. Hey, you don't think that nerve disease of his was contagious, do you? Better take him off. I'm too important to this team. Big Stein can't be flopping and twitching.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Let's have a smell, all right? Ooh, wafting, wafting. Oh, everyone likes their own brand, don't they? This is magic.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
The Fan.
Well, my mind is going through them changes.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a sunny Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for being with us right here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Really enjoyable hour. I hope the listeners enjoyed it as well. Kerry, we love him. We've had him on so many times over the last handful of years. He's at every sport. You go to a sporting event in this city, you'll see Kerry Yeager's there. He is at every. It's amazing how he is able to manage going to those events and write a book like this.
We took a pic with him. I wanted to put it on the Fan IG, and I took a pic with my phone, and then we had a coworker go, no, use mine. I got portrait mode.
Portrait mode.
He's closed his eyes in the portrait mode.
use the other one.
Well, let's see if he closes his eyes in that one.
Yeah, brighten it up a little bit.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, we're going to have to use mine.
Yeah, boom, we'll use that. No, that was a lot of fun. We've had a chance to dive into the book, and it's for Blazer fans, it's just well worth it. So I hope you enjoyed that hour as much as we did. And it ended on a bright note of talking about Major League Baseball to Portland. That's a guy who's been around this city a long time, and he clearly has the same intuition that we do in terms of this seems like it is it.
I would. The only thing I would say too is because I am enjoying it. I think he's right about it's a lot of pages, but it flows. It just goes because you're reading about when it started and then to the point where it kind of ends. The unfortunate part for me was some of those guys just not recognizing what that era was in sports history, in the league, and even to the city they played in.
Yeah,
a city, by the way, that we have always. It sounds really corny, but we've treated NBA players really well here. Like, we don't fanboy out. They can walk around. You get people that ask for pictures, obviously, but we don't go insane. You know, you go to New York, there's a good chance Porzingis or Patrick Ewing going to not be able to walk around anywhere. In Portland, you'll get some kids. You'll get maybe a couple adults or teenagers, whatever. We're not going insane. We always treat the athletes really well here, and it just sucks. I wish Rashid, as an example here, would have just said, you know what? Yeah, it was a shaky time, but we had a lot of success. I'll talk about it. I wish Bonzi would have, a guy right. that we loved. And we said, hey, how about this guy from Ball State? And then he kind of turned into the league villain. He became the Draymond on bad team. I just wish more of those guys would have been willing to talk. Even Damon, who was willing to talk about it with us and say, you know, I thought it was overplay. We weren't all thugs and, you know, weed's legal. Like, he told us that too. But I just wish some of those players who had a lot, a bigger role in those teams would have been willing to step up and say, yeah, I'll talk about that era.
Well, and a note on that as well, and this is something we found out on our show when we did interview Damon Stoudemire, was him bringing up the documentary that is being made about this era. Supposed to be being made. And Kerry had mentioned that was part of the reason some of these guys didn't talk to him is because they're trying to put this documentary together, and they have their hands in it. Bonzi, Rashid, and Damon included are all a part of it. So
right. That's
just an added piece of the puzzle there to keep your eye on. But awesome book. Highly suggest going and buying it. And thanks again to Kerry Yeager's. I want to get to Statter Story, by the way, coming up here in a couple of moments. I want to get to a couple of comments out of the Big Ten today as Jim Delaney, their commissioner, was talking to the folks. And commissioners are obviously in the news, especially in this neck of the woods, because of the feelings about Larry Scott. But they got left out of the playoff again this year, and it's an interesting one. Last year they were left out. This year again, Ohio State as a one-loss team was ranked behind a two-loss Georgia. But Delaney still had high hopes for his conference, and he had this to say about how many teams could compete for a national title.
And we probably have three teams, to be honest with you, Dave, that if they had the opportunity to play, they're probably good enough to win the whole thing. I think Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State are all elite teams. And they'll have an opportunity to keep playing and playing against other really good teams, playing the Rose Bowl this year. So, you know, I'm looking forward, not backward.
You think Penn State?
He's looking forward, not backwards.
Michigan, Ohio State, okay.
He said the playoff is not going to define us. And this was added on top of the fact because some of the backlash that has been around the sport is the uneven playing field, if you will, of, you know, every conference has different rules. Primarily, we're mad about what the SEC does. And they play eight, everybody else plays nine. And he was asked about the idea of going to eight conference games, and he shot down that notion.
Well, you know, the thing about that is he came out when they initially got snubbed, and he acknowledged that, you know, it's unfortunate. Congratulations to all four of those teams. I thought he took the high road. James Franklin had an interesting follow-up with this where he kind of went off, and he talked about that the Big Ten's problem in response to what Big 12 does, ACC, SEC, et cetera. And the ACC, to a certain extent, kind of plays nine conference games because I think 10 of their – do they have 12 teams in the ACC?
No, the ACC's got more than 14? That now. Yeah, let me look it up.
10 of their teams play Notre Dame. They're kind of that pseudo-ACC team that are on the outside.
Yeah, it's a valid point.
So that still counts, in my opinion, as a conference game. But for the most part, James Franklin went off and said, you know, we need to do something to maximize our potential and our ability to get in because this is the dance that matters. This is what affects – the payouts and the amount of money. I mean, just from Washington State missing a Big Six game, or a New Year's Six game, you're talking about serious dollars that the league misses out on. So I think the Pac-12 is going to be the last to recognize this. I think Jim Delaney and the Big Ten are going to get together, and I think they are going to correct it. I do believe they'll get to eight conference games. And I do believe they are going to do what it takes to get them back in. And the problem with the Pac-12 is it's being highlighted all over the country at this point, is they're more willing to look at how much they can make from a TV standpoint and not so much how to make football better,
right?
Which is stupid because that impacts the TV side of it.
Right.
So I like Jim Delaney. I think every other commissioner of their conference is in a far better position than Larry Scott in the Pac-12. And I like the honesty of acknowledging that, hey, those teams earned it, but we feel we're a great conference. And then coaches coming out and saying, let's fix this. This is stupid. David Shaw, by the way, has done the same thing James Franklin has. We need to be maximizing our potential to get to that point. And yet here we are as a conference. Nowhere in sight does it feel like we're going to have eight conference games. I think the Big Ten's going to get there.
Yeah, it isn't, because the correlation that people have, I think sometimes is wrong, is that the SEC is the only conference to make it every year, and they play eight conference games, therefore that's why they've done it. That, to me, I don't like the correlation. It just it hurts you when you play more because you're handing yourself another loss, potentially. I mean, you can go schedule a cupcake and get another easy win on there, and that's where, to me, the negative of it comes in. So we'll see if the Big Ten does it. One other note, too, out of this is, as he was talking to people today, how about this notion? So there was quite the kerfuffle, if you will, about conference championship games the last 2 years. Alabama didn't have to play in one, and they still made the playoff last year. And some folks were upset that Notre Dame, obviously not being at a conference, didn't have to play a conference championship game. They'd finish or 12, you go sit at home, everybody else risks it, and they know they're going to make it. Well, one notion that he did kick around, and he said it's an item that has been discussed before, and there's more discussion now than there was 4 years ago, is to, in the Big Ten, essentially get rid of divisions and have the two best teams in the conference play in the conference championship
game.
Well,
you should, because one division in the Big Ten is a joke and the other one has all the good teams.
So you would go up. The Big 12 does it because they don't have enough teams for divisions.
I'd like the Pac-12 to do this too, by the way.
You want to get rid of divisions,
yeah.
Huh?
Divisions are stupid. That's it. That's my opinion. Divisions are stupid. We don't care about divisions. We really don't care about divisions in college football. We don't care about divisions in the NBA. What's the point?
Because the example, and this is some recency bias, because I don't know if it's been a problem every single year. Obviously, in the SEC, you didn't have it because Alabama and Georgia. Big 12, you didn't, obviously, because Oklahoma and Texas. But you look at the Big Ten, who had Ohio State playing Northwestern, when there are two teams with better records in Michigan and Penn State ahead of Northwestern. But because of divisions, they went. The Pac-12, you had this because it would have been Washington and Washington State meeting again. It would have been a back-to-back gamer if you had no divisions and it was just the two best teams. It would have been the Huskies and the Cougars because Washington State had a better record than Utah and they beat Utah head-to-head. They were 10-2 at the end of the year. So that one was different. And then obviously, now granted, it doesn't matter much this year because the whole conference sucks, but you had a 7-5 Pitt team make it because they were in the Coastal Division. Now, the other alternative would have been a 9-3 Syracuse team, so Clemson still would have rolled. But
yeah,
those are the examples that people are pointing to and saying, like, this is kind of ridiculous that you're allowing just random divisions that are chosen either literally random or by location to affect who goes and plays in a conference championship game.
Yeah.
It should just be the two best teams in the conference.
Right, right. Like, if you got me Ohio State, Michigan, round two at a neutral site, I know it was a beatdown, I'd be in on it because I think Michigan would probably play a better game than they did. You wouldn't be playing on the road against Ohio State, and things might be a little different. Maybe Michigan's able to beat Ohio State because we haven't seen the consistency at Ohio State that they showed against Michigan. So I think the division thing is stupid. Well, I would like, and the Pac-12 South could be used for this too, since the start of this championship game for the Pac-12. Nobody's won it from the South except USC.
USC last year.
That's the only team that's won it from the South. And and more than half the time, the South team has been a joke.
Yeah, you've had 7-5, 6-6,
the first year was UCLA 6-6. I was at that game.
They
I had to go cover
granted,
UCLA.
USC was
on suspension.
I know, but whatever. That's on USC.
Still,
but
you sent
UCLA there.
That was your second best team in the division.
What would that been? Stanford and Oregon that year?
Oh, yeah. For like the first 4 years, it would have been Stanford and Oregon.
And I would have signed up for that every single time.
Yeah. So, and one last note on this too, getting rid of divisions is it does not allow teams to feast on a poor division, because the way the scheduling works is you play everybody in your division, and then, like we know with the North, you play everybody in the North, and then you get a couple of teams from the South. And what there are so many bad divisions out there that some teams I think are allowed to feast on it. Northwestern to me is an example of that this year, of a team you just look at their interdivisional games. Of course they won all those, and then they lost to a team like Michigan who wasn't in their division. So it would shake up the schedule a little bit. Jim Delaney says the Big Ten is kicking it around, getting rid of divisions and just having the two best teams meet in the conference championship game. We'll get into some NFL coaching news coming up at the bottom of the hour, but it is time for your favorite segment, Stat or Story, next on The Fan.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, don't mess.
The Fan.
That's right, folks. Stat or Story time. We'll get into some NFL coaching notes at the bottom of the hour. Also, a tweet that has gone viral that we need to do what everybody else has done, and that is make fun of it. We'll do that at some point in the next 40 minutes. But what do we got?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've actually been here for this.
So. It's been a while.
So we'll start with your first number.
What's that song? Is that Nickelback?
I think so.
Probably.
You know what song I'm talking about?
I think so.
Yeah. Your first number is 9. 9 times. Is it the total number of interceptions Aaron Rodgers has thrown in playoff games during his career? Or is it the age of a Severance, Colorado boy who successfully got a local law change that had outlawed throwing snowballs for 98 years?
Oh, I'm going story.
Yeah, that's got story written all over it.
Rodgers has thrown 10 interceptions in 16 playoff games.
I would have guessed
career.
The under.
Good thing you didn't say that.
Yeah.
But this comes to us from Fox 31 in Denver. 9-year-old Dane Best, after taking a class field trip to City Hall to learn about governing, citizenship, and such, found out that there was a law on the books in their small farming town in Colorado that basically made it illegal to throw snowballs since 1920.
What old sap passed that law? Well, somebody got in the face.
Yeah.
That's illegal.
The ordinance originally banned people from throwing missiles at each other. It was then extrapolated to...
What?
It's a wild, wild west out there back in the 1920s. It was then determined it would ban all thrown projectiles. That included snowballs. So,
can you throw a football to somebody?
I don't know.
Is that allowed?
I don't know.
Can you play catch with a baseball? That's a projectile. You're throwing it at somebody.
Right.
Have you ever been hit with a snowball that has a rock in it, but you didn't know?
Yeah, the ice ball, that's not pleasant. Anyway, Dane and his parents worked with Mayor Don McLeod. They made a presentation to the Board of Trustees. It was a unanimous vote to overturn it. And young Dane got to throw the first snowball in city history.
Good for him.
Well done, Dane. Take one for the team.
Are you saying Dane or Dane?
Dane.
Dane.
D-A-N-E. Oh.
By the way, listeners are saying the band is Stained.
Yeah.
Oh. I think for the song, and it's not a Nickelback song. We have a bunch of Stained fans out there.
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah. I had a moment.
Feels like Nickelback in my mind,
it
but
does,
obviously
yeah.
I don't know.
The same kind of voice to lead it off. I had a moment as a young shenanigan-filled teenager, like during one of the snow days, throwing snowballs at cars that would drive by.
Yeah.
Which now as an old, that kind of bothers me, but as a young, it was so much fun to do.
Well, you worry about a rock and a snowball.
Exactly. Well, and I wasn't a rock guy. They were harmless snowballs. So we were I think it was Eastmoreland Golf Course, throwing snowballs at cars that drove by. And we hit this car with like 15 snowballs. There was like 20 of us there. And the guy got out of the car and started chasing us. So, of course, as like 15, 16-year-old kids, you immediately turn and start running.
He went Albert Bell on you.
Yeah, it's like 20 to 1, right? So it's survival of the fittest mode, and everybody's running through the snow-filled golf course. He eventually catches up to the slowest person, which was shockingly not me, tackles them to the ground, and then gets up and laughs. He was like, that was so fun. I just wanted to chase somebody. Have fun. And walk back to his car. We were like, oh, my God, what's happening right now?
Rest of you all needed fresh shorts when you got home. Yeah.
You know, what happened to kids where that was kind of the protocol, right? Because I threw pennies at cars off a roof.
What? Why would you do that?
It was kind of funny. It was really stupid.
Oh, your car gets hit by a penny, you jerk.
Well, right. Anyways, when we did that and somebody stopped and they got out.
Where were your manners?
We always ran. I feel like kids nowadays, like if there's seven or more of them, they're always like, what?
Yeah, what? Somebody's there videotaping it.
Yeah,
and they're like,
do something.
Payday.
That was that was the best part about not being 21 was running from the cops when you were drinking. I miss those days.
Your next number is 162,500.
Don't act like you never ran from the car, like a house party.
I loved the...
don't act like you never... What are you calling Coward on me now?
90,
I wasn't Draft Baker. He ran from the cops.
90 seconds ago, the judgment in your voice when I said I threw pennies at a car when I was an adolescent.
I'm only harming myself. I'm not harming other people's cars.
That's debatable. You're drunk. Drunk dirt. We don't know what he was doing, especially at like age 19.
Your number is 162,500. Is it the amount of the bonus in Mario Cristobal's contract for getting to a bowl game this year?
Nine? You said 900? Sorry.
162,500. Or is it the amount of money paid by the winning bidder for the typewriter Hugh Hefner used to write the articles for the first issue of Playboy magazine at a recent auction?
I'm going to go stat. That has to be more expensive than that. I'm going stat.
Yeah, that seems pretty precise, like a buyout would be. And I looked at contract numbers today because they released the assistant coach salaries, which, by the way, I think Oregon has three of the four highest paid Pac-12 assistants. I'm going to go, this is a stat as well.
What?
Mario gets $100,000 for getting to the bowl game.
That's all it cost to buy Hugh Hefner's typewriter?
Just the single typewriter, yeah. It was a 1953 Underwood Standard Portable Typewriter. Went for $162,500, according to the Hollywood Reporter. This was one of the first auctions of a lot of the personal possessions of Hugh Hefner, who, of course, died a little over a year ago. The proceeds from the sale went to the Hugh M. Hefner Foundation, supporting organizations that advocate for defending civil rights and civil liberties. Some of the other stuff that went, red silk smoking jackets. One of them sold for $41,600. The copy of the issue that featured the nude photos of Marilyn Monroe went for $31,250. Jim Belushi bid on the Saturday Night Live script that Hef was in along with his brother. He paid $3,125 for that. What what piece of Hef or Playboy memorabilia would you shell out some dough for?
Would you rock the old robe? This old crimson robe? Can I get the cave hot tub? Possible?
Think you got to buy grotto?
Yeah. What is? What's
I don't think I have any interest in his actual personal items. I to answer your question, like why should that typewriter be more than $162,000? That's a lot of money. Because Hugh Hefner touched it.
It's a pretty monumental magazine, you know?
I mean, the smoking jacket, I would have guessed the smoking jacket went for more, given how iconic it was, but...
What's going on with the Playboy Mansion these days?
I can't remember what...
Somebody just had a party there.
Oh, really?
Somebody
bought it and throwing parties?
I don't know if it was the person that bought it, but somebody just threw a party there. I can't remember
who it
was.
Well, see if this grabs you. A golden onyx ring that had a secret compartment where he kept his Viagra pill. $22,400.
That's kind of a cool thing.
That's kick-ass.
You put like a Tic Tac in there since you don't need ED yet.
Yeah, sure. Tic Tac.
Your little ED. Your little
blue
pill.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Finally, your number
when
is
they come in blue, huh?
70. 70. Is it the number of three-point field goals made so far this season by Damian Lillard? Or is it the cost per hour in Australian dollars for the basic service to hire the all-nude house cleaning service in Australia?
I'm going to go, this is a stat. Stat, Bob.
All-nude. What was the number again?
70.
Yeah. It's made threes, right?
Made threes.
Yeah,
I'll go stat too.
Stop copying me. Gosh.
You can't go with three straight stories here.
Dame's made 70 this year. But no, it costs a little more than that just for the basic services there. Bear All Cleaning has several franchises throughout Australia. And they just opened a new one in Adelaide for $90 an hour. That'll be where you start out if you need somebody to come, tidy up for you and want a little show there. You can either, it starts at bikini, goes to topless, and then bare all, depending on the level of service you're looking for.
Ooh. What kind of cleanup do they do?
Looks like they do windows. They'll do like ironing, folding, laundry, basic that, cleaning in the house. And then, so as not to be labeled sexist, they have also started an all-male in the buff landscaping service.
That's my backup job when I get fired.
So yeah, I'm thinking
Australia.
I'm thinking Sprager out there.
You want a pasty white guy come doing your lawn naked?
Hey,
he wouldn't be pasty white for very long out there in the buff in Australia.
Yeah, they're mowing a lawn, you're gonna get bit by a scorpion and God knows where.
So is.
You can get the wet t-shirt window washing and after-party cleanup.
That's a great idea.
Do you get anything from watching somebody nude, even if they're hot, clean?
See, that's what I was going to ask.
I think I'd rather have the wet t-shirt window.
See, now that is an added aspect to it that's different. But if we're just talking like actual cleaning and I'm just not hiring a stripper to come over to my house, that to me doesn't fall under the category of good naked.
Now, the firm does enforce...
I've always been a big fan of theatrics. Like,
right.
Make me wonder versus just revealing. I think I enjoy that a little more until the deed is done.
The firm does enforce a look but don't touch policy. Though they did admit they did have to remove a worker once who was at risk of harassment. So they're there to do a job. They're not there to provide
policy?
A sex service.
Yeah, right.
Aww.
Yeah, right.
Now, if you want to go whole hog, for $650, you can get the team of two who will cook and clean for the whole day.
Okay, now we're on to something.
She's burning herself with bacon grease naked.
Somebody said, I believe this is a porn category. I think it is.
Yeah, this is porn.
Yeah, to look at porn, Dan, porn.
You guys ever foresee a time in your life if circumstances are different where you're ever interested in something like this?
I mean, if I get to the point where I'm four bills and can't get off the couch, at that point, I just let it all go.
I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to get dirty.
How creepy would you feel just sitting there on the couch watching, like, two naked
She's vacuuming. Can you lift your feet, yeah, please, sir?
Yeah, honey, yeah. Vacuum that carpet.
Well, but, like, if Swagger, you know, like, 10 years, Lady Swag, for whatever reason, leaves you, you're not having success on the dating market, would you ever think about this?
I just go to a strip club.
No.
If you want to see naked people, go to a strip club.
Strippers don't clean your house, though.
Wow, but what's the difference? It's a naked person.
They clean my house naked.
But there's nothing erotic about cleaning a house.
What if they twerk while they vacuum?
She's scrubbing your counters. Is that going to turn you on?
What if she's naked swinging work,
with
work?
The wet wipes? You'd rather watch that than somebody slinging around a pole with high heels
know.
On?
I'm not into this.
Come on.
This isn't my thing.
I know.
Is this the nipple reference, by the way, you were talking about earlier?
Yeah. You can, get good work out there. They've got different different shops set up all across Australia.
What do you think? You going to buy some naked maids? 55305, better you today.
Oh, we got people that would probably admit that they would be interested enough to try this.
We said Sprague's landscaping service can be called Hedge Clips and Nips. Also, a valid point here from my listener.
I feel like that's going to come back to haunt me on Friday.
What is?
The me being naked doing landscaping for spring line.
Yeah, keep that one in mind, folks. Yeah. I might text the shirtless picture to Kevin Todd, too, just to get his thoughts on it.
Well, he might be into it.
When somebody else said that would be as scary being a man doing landscaping naked. What if he accidentally lops something off?
Well, they did say they did take some safety precautions when they got out the heavy equipment.
The shears.
The chainsaws and the...
You've got to climb a tree and cut some branches down in the nude? No thanks, man.
I can't help because we get to hear from our female listeners from time to time on social media, the text line, etc. And I'm always interested when these topics come up. Do they turn it off? Are they laughing? Are they wondering the same things? But with men, or are they thinking the same things we're wondering with women? I'm always interested what the reaction is from the female listeners.
It's like that
on those stories.
What was the Mike movie with the male dancers?
Magic Mike?
Magic Mike.
Yeah.
Teach their own.
Unfortunately, I saw one of those.
Oh.
Happy wife, happy life, I guess.
He said my friend moving to Australia makes more sense now. whole new meaning for weed whacker. All right.
Oh no.
Okay. Easy.
You gotta trim the bush there, bud.
Okay. I got a fun. That's enough. We got a fun coach.
Want to play a game called Hide the Rake?
Fun coach story coming up to close out the show. Also, we need to make fun of an organization because everybody else is doing it. But first, we'll get a couple of NFL coaching notes in. We'll do it next. Hey, have you ever been frustrated about losing a bet and wanted to have a word with the coach who lost you that bet? We'll get to that closing up the show. 10 minutes.
I'm kind of getting frustrated with you not allowing me to finish this bet from the Civil War.
Yeah,
I want to get this done, and you keep not doing it.
Okay, I'll do it next week because I'm out the week after that. So
well,
we'll do
what
it
am
next
I
week.
Eating? You haven't even told me that.
It's going to be a surprise.
What?
Yeah, come on. You can pick something hot. That was your claim. I told you I wasn't going to make you do a pepper.
Okay.
It was going to be a food item that was hot that you would have to eat.
Yeah. I think we're going Salvador Molly's. Those were hot. I actually had one.
If you
want to
spend the money, be my guest. I'll eat hot balls.
We'll do it next week. Okay?
Okay.
We'll do it live.
We will do it live.
Yeah, we'll do it live.
I just got to figure out what segment I want to do it.
Can you do me a big favor, though?
Huh?
Whatever you bring in. Could you please also bring in whole milk?
A lot of milk.
No, I'm not bringing the amenities here to cool down your heat. That's on you. I'll let you know what day I'm going to do it. I'm not buying you a liter of milk, too.
All right.
Come on now.
But I need a heads up.
That's on you. I'll let you know what day. We'll do it later in the week next week. Maybe next Friday or something like that. Maybe while you're doing your spring in the line. After you make your spring in the line picks, we'll have you eat it or something.
What are you doing on a Tuesday? We got anything going on Tuesday?
We'll get into that next week. Hey, we got two coaching vacancies in the NFL right now as both Green Bay and Cleveland had fired their coaches. And the one name that continues to circle around is Josh McDaniels. People continue to bring him up despite what happened with him last year, accepting the job and then returning to New England. Well, Chris Carter... He is on the, what is it, First Things First show? Is that what it's called?
First Things First.
First Things First. It's on at like 2 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast with Nick Wright. He threw out a name that people should keep their eye on. Who is it? Tell us, Chris Carter.
Watch out for Jim Harbaugh, because Jim Harbaugh potentially is trying to get his way out of Michigan. All right? I got good sources that are telling me not only Green Bay, but also watch out for the Cleveland Browns. He likes the quarterback situations there, and I believe that there is front office people in Green Bay who are enamored with Jim Harbaugh and potentially trying to get him to come to Green Bay.
He's going to leave
he
Michigan?
He wants to get out of Michigan. We buy in what Chris Carter's selling here. He wants out of Michigan.
I am. I do believe he is a short-term coach at this point in his career. I have no reason to believe otherwise. Maybe he turns these down. If he stays at Michigan for 10-plus years, I'll retract that statement. But if you told me he left, I would be both shocked and not shocked, if that's possible. Because you're leaving your alma mater where you make almost $9 million a year. You're the king of that state. And even though people are frustrated with you, you're one of their own, which is a huge thing. Got to get the Michigan man. So to leave that, to go back to the NFL where it did not end well for you, and part of that was his fault. Jed York and Trent Baalke were clowns, but part of that was on him. Yeah, that's a very interesting move. And again, I think he can win, but can he win a championship? He hasn't seemed to be able to do that yet anywhere he's gone.
Well, Herbs is gone, so he's got that going for him. Fun fact on his tenure, if he is to stick around at Michigan and coach next year and not go to the NFL, it will be his longest tenure as a coach.
More than Stanford.
Stanford, he was there for 4 years, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010.
And this is year 5 in Michigan?
Went to San Francisco, was there for 4 years. This is year 4 in Michigan. He's never been in a place longer than 4 years. The head coach at San Diego for 3 years.
Yeah.
So if he does return for his 5th season, it'll be his first time ever making it to a 5th year as a head coach at a place.
Well, and look, I'm not one of those, let's kill Jim Harbaugh. I think he's a really good football coach, and I think because he hasn't won a national championship, people think he's a bum. His winning percentage, I'm sure, is going to be right up there if he is to leave the Wolverines. The only stat that matters to anybody that cares about Michigan football is the stat that he has become the first ever, and that is going 0-for-4 in their first 4 attempts against Ohio State. It's the only stat that matters, and to go 0-4 is inexcusable.
Well, I'll ask you this, both of you, if you are Jim Harbaugh and you get a call from the Browns and the Packers and you want to go back to the NFL, which job do you take?
I would probably lean Green Bay because really, who's your boss? You kind of don't have one.
Nah, I place a call to Aaron Rodgers first. If he's on board, then I go to Green Bay. If he's indifferent, then I would go to Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't think it's that wide of a gap because the age factor there too. I mean, you got to think long. Who knows how many great years Aaron Rodgers has left?
Probably
he's 35,
four, which
right?
is enough time for Harbaugh to leave.
He'd be there for 4 years.
Let's
and
go win 1-4, and then I'll leave again.
We asked this as a poll question: if you had offers from both teams, which one do you take? 65% went with Green Bay, which I think short term that's obviously the easy answer. But Cleveland's got a lot of young talent on that team.
Feels like more though. You need a young coach for Cleveland, doesn't it? Because you got a young quarterback. Go get that young offensive mind and let them be together like McVay and Goff.
To a certain extent,
not
yeah.
to say you're going to find McVay, because again, I think that's stupid, but
right.
What is Jim Harbaugh? Is he 52? Is he 54?
He is 54.
Yeah. So, you know, he could work in Cleveland. That's to say he couldn't win in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield if he could find the right coaching staff. But, you know, him and Aaron, if Aaron is on board and were to believe that, that would make sense a little more for me than maybe if you're Cleveland, you go with a you swing for the fences on a Josh McDaniels type guy, slightly younger, offensive-minded guy, and let him work with Baker.
So Chris Carter says Jim Harbaugh is sniffing around the NFL. He wants out at Michigan. We'll see if he ends up being right. Only 2 openings so far, but who knows? There could be more to come in the final weeks of the season. All right, closing up, we'll answer the poll questions for you. I want to get to a coach story. We also need to make fun of an organization. All of that is next right here on The Fan. Hey, 248, Isaac and Sue coming up top of the hour. Answer some poll questions here in a moment. Get to a coach story here in a moment as well. Have you seen the tweet that went viral? I saw this last night. I chuckled, and I thought we need to talk about it tomorrow, and then everybody saw it today, so it's not going to be unique. But it came from, did you see what PETA tweeted yesterday?
I don't follow PETA. I'm not in on what they do as an organization, so no.
You don't follow PETA closely, huh?
No, I think they're absolutely insane, but that's just my two cents.
Well, let me see if this proves or disproves your theory.
Okay.
They sent out a tweet yesterday saying that we as Americans need to stop using anti-animal language.
Anti-animal language. Okay, could you explain that to me, please?
They used the term speciesism to explain it.
Okay.
So they came up with phrases that include animals, and they gave us alternatives to use instead of using this harsh speciesism language. Are you ready for the examples they provided?
Please enlighten me, PETA.
They said, obviously, a well-known phrase is kill two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we say that time to time. They said you can say feed two birds with one scone.
No, they didn't. This is real.
I'm not making this up. honest to God, I'm not making this up. You know how you say, hey, I'll be the guinea pig. You want to be the guinea pig?
Yeah,
here's
I'll
the guinea pig.
Out.
Be the guinea pig, right?
Yeah.
They provided, be the test tube.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. It gets more.
All right,
it gets better. there was one, beat a dead horse, right? Say that time to time. They said, why would you say that when you could say, feed a fed horse? There's two more that they provided.
Would you feed a horse that's fed?
He's already fed. Well,
he's
I need to feed
fed,
him. He's going to get fat. Now we got a fat horse.
Right.
I don't need a fat horse on my hands.
You can beat a dead horse because he's dead.
He's the right. No pain. When we say bring home the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Go get the bacon.
Sure.
Bring home that bacon, baby.
Sometimes people mean that literally, too.
Yeah, I like bacon and football.
Yeah, I literally bring home bacon all the time. I love bacon. I eat bacon all the time. They said, instead of that, say bring home the bagels. There's last one here.
Because people don't like bagels as much as they like bacon.
This one. Last one. Take the bull by the horns. They provided, take the flower by the thorns.
Don't poke the bear!
Now, Dusty brought this up this morning. I heard him talking about this on my way back from the gym, and he said, that sounds sexual. Which it does.
Grab the flower by the thorns.
Hey, you grab that flower by the thorns.
I was thinking for a quick second, were they going to say grab the flower by the petal? But they probably would categorize that as killing the flower, which is a living thing, so you can't do that. And then I thought, oh yeah, they did rhyme stone with scone, so they're probably going to go horns and thorns.
Yep.
Yeah.
Somebody said makes me want to have a steak tonight.
Has anybody? This is what I would like. One, I'm completely in agreement with that listener. I might have ribs or steak tonight because of this story. And the
roast
second
beef.
Part is, yeah, I might have roast beef.
Sour braten.
You're damn right, Sam Elliott.
Catalonian beef ragu.
Oh, I love that Catalonian beef ragu.
That
give it to me.
Sounds good.
Has anybody actually done a story? I want like a real journalistic piece on if a human that commits to being part of PETA ever maintains their sanity or with the organization through their whole life, because I'd be willing to wager no way.
Yeah.
It's a college phase.
Right.
It's like, I smoked weed in college.
Right.
You know, it's something along those lines, I believe.
Yeah.
PETA's the worst.
So enjoy that. That's real. You can go look it up. They had a whole press release on it and everything. Anti-animal language. They're trying to get it out of our vocabulary. So
Mongolian beef.
Ooh, I like Mongolian beef. That's got good flavor to it.
It's chicken fried steak.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what? I haven't had chicken fried steak in a long time. You put some eggs on some chicken fried steak with gravy.
Steak Diane.
Ooh, I'll eat Diane.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Okay, one last note I want to get in here. We are folks who gamble a lot on this show, and we lose from time to time. Sometimes you get upset about the teams and the players that lose you a bet, right? You hold a grudge against them.
Dude,
how dare you?
I hold real grudges.
You cost me money, you bastard. Well, this happened to a radio host named Rob Benton on WWL Radio, I believe in Oklahoma City. And
is that the sports animal station?
I don't know.
Is that the name of the station?
But he talks about it a lot on the air, that at the beginning of the year, he was very public in being optimistic about Oklahoma State and the season that they can have. And so he put $250 on them hitting their over number.
What was the number?
7.5. So they needed 8 wins, and they didn't. They went 6-6 this year.
Oklahoma State was 6-6.
They were 6-6, right? So he has made this public about he lost his bet. He lost $250. Well, Mike Gundy, who has had his beefs with the media as of late, got wind of, literally, that was him. He got wind of this, and you know what he did?
What?
He sent a check for $250 to the radio host.
Oh, is this the one where he wrote a personal note to?
He wrote a letter. The letter said this, quote, "I have many high school buddies who consume way too much alcohol, which leads to listening to talk radio. The rumor is you bet on our team and lost your money. We came up short, so I thought the manly 51 thing to do is to reimburse a guy for believing in our team. Thanks for your support."
That's stupid. He should have wrote a letter. I mean, like, "I'm sorry you didn't get a push. Welcome to gambling." Did the guy keep the money, or is he going to give it back?
I think he tweeted out the picture of it.
Would you keep it or give it back?
Oh, yeah, I'd keep it.
Nah, I tweet it out. I give it back.
That's, give it back.
This is life, man. You don't get your money back when you lose.
Go win 8 games, Gundy. Quit battling with the media and win 2 more games, and I win my bet. I'll take Gundy's money. That guy makes $5 million a year. I'll take his $250.
You can donate
bucks.
The money. That's a good point by a listener.
Yeah, true. You can donate it.
And this is a good point. Overfeeding a fed horse is animal cruelty.
That it is, Bob. That it is. Well, there you go. Hey, if you missed it today, we had Kerry Agers in studio for an hour. Talked about his book, Jailblazers. Go find the podcast. It's a great listen and a great read if you're a Blazer fan. Highly suggest going and getting the book. And thanks again to him for stopping in today. Thanks for being a part of our Wednesday, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan. Show.